Morning, today's Daf and Shabbos, Kuf Dalid. We are on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots with the heading of Amar of Yehuda. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. Here in the 12th Perek of Shabbos, we are approaching the end of it. It's a short Perek. Started just a couple of days ago. We are discussing the Malachas of Binyan and Makeh B'Patash and Charisha. And yesterday, we got onto the Malacha of Kosev. Mishnah Kuf Gimel and Aleph, which we saw yesterday, introduced us to the Malacha of Kosev. Kosev Shteyosios, that the writing of two letters is a violation of Shabbos. And so the Mishnah yesterday brought us into some basic halachas regarding what exactly are the parameters of this Malacha of Kosev. We went through a lengthy brisa yesterday. We went through the Mishnah yesterday, which talked about writing with your right hand, with your left hand, writing in different inks. Writing a larger word, the original intention to write a larger word, but instead you write a shorter word. And then the Gemara treated us yesterday to a brisa with five opinions regarding doing malachas where your original intention was to do something larger, you did something shorter. And the Gemara spent a lot of time going over the various positions of the brisa, five positions in total in the brisa. And we're going to pick it up now. Amar Rav Yehuda Matzina Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. So picking it up over here, we're now discussing your original intent was to write a large name. Let's say, for example, you want to write the name Shimon or the name Shmuel, and you stopped after writing two letters. So the word shame in of itself is, in fact, a name. And so, as a result of that, one is going to be in violation of Shabbos, even though his intention was to write Shem Gadol, and he only wrote Shem Katan. Nevertheless, he's going to be Chayev. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we saw both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. And then there's a question. The question that's, quite frankly, been looming over our heads, because we've already seen this position a number of times in this Masechta, and the question is obvious, and the Gemara here asks the question, Mi dami, mem deshem sasum, mem deshimon pasuach. So of course we know that there are letters in the Aleph Beis that have two versions. A version that occurs in the middle of a word, and then there's a sophios. There's a version of that letter that occurs at the end of the word. And of course mem being one of those letters. And as a result of that, so it's difficult to understand the Gemara. How could it possibly be that if your intention was to write Shimon, and you wrote the Shin Mem of Shimon, and then you stopped, and then you're going to be chayv for writing Shem, but meanwhile, the Mem that you wrote, of course, was a Mem Pasuach. It was an open Mem, meaning it was not a Mem Sophis. It was a Mem that goes either at the beginning or in the middle of a word. And it is, therefore, not a Mem that goes at the end of the word. And if you were to stop over there, how could you be in violation of Shabbos for writing the name Shem, when meanwhile, if you were written the name Shem in of itself, you would have written a Mem Sasam. So the Gemara is going to attempt to answer. Amar Rav Chista Zosumer Sasam Vasu Pasuach Kasher. So Rav Chista says, okay, so the question is really strong, so let's give a strong answer. And that is that if you were supposed to write a Mem Sasam, and instead you wrote a Mem Pasuach, it's going to be Kasher. So obviously there's a Lechat Chila. There's a way, ideally, that the letter should be written, but b'di'avid, but post facto, this would be acceptable. So Meisvis, so the Gemara now is going to challenge that based on the following brace of Chsav Tam. Sivatama. So the Pasuk says regarding the writing of the Torah that you have to write. Actually, the Pasuk here is in reference to the mezuzah. But this is true by all Sifrei Torah that it has to be Chsav Tam. And that word the Gemara understands to be contraction of two words, Chsav Tima, or Chsav Tama, that the writing has to be a complete writing. And as a result of that, so there are many things which you could make a mistake, and the Bryce is about to teach us, don't make these mistakes. And so letters that are similar to one another, and many other halachas where the Torah could make mistakes. And we're going to go through now many different halachas. For example, Shalo yichtov alfim einen einen alafim. Don't write your aleph like an ayin, don't write like your ayin like an aleph. Now, it's kind of hard to see how these letters are similar to one another. Rashi over here gives a really interesting pshat. Rashi says, Yeshi kosin kem im neshi domin b'kriyasan. Well, they sound very similar. In fact, the minhag Ashkenaz is to make no distinction whatsoever. But just because they sound similar does not mean that they look similar. But I guess the sofer, who is not writing based on another print, another script, and he's just simply coming up with the letters on his own, so he could confuse the Aleph and the Ayin. Okay, either way. Base and Kaf, and now here, these letters are very similar to one another, the base and the Chaf, and Kaf and Basin. Gamin, Sadin, Sadin, Gamin. the Gimel and the Tzadi. So these letters look very similar to one another. All you need to do is just simply turn the Gimel 90 degrees and it's going to look like a Tzadi. And so once again, caution to the sofer not to confuse these letters. Dalson, Reishin, Reishin, Dalson. The Dal and the Reish are very similar to one another. The only difference is that the Dal, you have an extension on the top that goes to the right of the regal, of the leg of the letter. Hein, Chesin, Chesin, Hein. Obviously, the Hein and the Ches are very similar to one another. The Ches is closed. The He is open on the top of the left-hand side. Vav, Yud, and Yud, and Vavim. Obviously, the Yud and the Vav is very similar to one another. The only thing you have by the Vav is just simply that the leg drops all the way to the bottom. The Yud obviously does not. Zayin and Nun and Nun and Zayin. The Zayin and the Nun. Now, when we're talking about the Nun over here, we're talking about the Nun Sofis. The Nun Sofis goes just drops down. And it looks like a Zayin. The difference, of course, is that the Nun Sofis is going to go down further. So, Tessin, Paifin, Paifin, Tessin. The Pay and the Tess. So, once again, all you need to do is just turn it 90 degrees. And the test is going to look like a pay, or you turn it back 90 degrees, and the same results. So you got to be careful. Kefufim pshutim, pshutim kefufim. Making sure that the letters that are supposed to be bent over are not strained out. Meaning, like for example, the letter nun, the nun pshuta. So the nun that comes in the beginning or in the middle of the of a word. So its bottom is going to be a base. It's going to turn to the left. On the other hand, the nun kfufa, the nun pshuta, that's the nun sofis, so that drops right down. So once again, you got to be careful about which one to write. Memim, samchen, samchen, memim. The samchen, the mem over here is being referenced to the mem sofis. The mem sofis is a square, the samch is more circular, and you just got to be, the sofis got to be careful not to confuse these letters. Stumim, psuchim, psuchim, stumim. That which is closed versus that which is open, right? The mem stuma versus the mem psucha, meaning that if the mem stuma is necessary, so write a mem stuma. If a mem psucha is necessary, write a mem psucha. And parsha psucha lo yasen stuma, stuma lo yasen psucha. In terms of the parshios, so in the Torah, when we talk about parshios, so we normally describe it in our common language as the parsha of the week. But in terms of Kriya, in terms of Ksiva Sefer Torah, the parsha over here that's made reference to is the fact that the Torah is broken up into paragraphs. And there is a Masorah in terms of when to make a shorter break and when to make a longer break in the Torah between one paragraph and another. And this is what's referred to as a Parsha Stuma versus a Parsha Psucha. It happens to be a debate amongst the Rishonim exactly how to format a Parsha Psucha and how to format a Parsha Stuma. Rambam, Rabbi Natam debate this very point. We're not going to go through it. But in the meantime, however, again, caution to the Sofrim. Make sure you know it's a Parsha Stuma versus a Parsha Psucha, and make sure to make the correct indentation in the Sefer Torah. Kasva Kishira. Osha Kasva is a Shira Kayotiba. Let's say, for example, the Sofer decides that instead of writing in the standard format of the Sefer Torah, he writes a section of the Sefer Torah in the form of a Shira. Now, what does the form of a Shira look like? Well, that's actually very easy. Open up to the Torah, to Az Yashir, and you're going to see exactly the structure of a Shira. Or go to the end of the Torah in Vizos HaBracha, right before Vizos HaBracha, sorry, Parshas HaZinu. So you're going to see also the format of a Shira. So if you write any other part of the Torah in that form of a Shira, that's no good. Conversely, if you were to write the Parsha of Az Yashir, the Parsha of Azinu, in the standard format of the Torah, that's also not good. Osha Kasav Shlo B'dio, or you write, let's say, without ink. Osha Kasav Es Haskaras B'Zahav, or let's say you want to make this Sefer Torah super fancy, and so whenever you get to Shem Hashem, so you're going to write it in gold. So all these cases, Hare Elu Yignezu. So in all the cases that we just described, all of the above cases, so you put it into Geniza, meaning these are Sifrei Torah that are psulos in every one of these cases. So that was obviously a lot of different examples in terms of ensuring that the Sofer writes Ksiva Tama. Of the many examples that we just went through, obviously the point that we're focusing on is the idea that the mem stuma has to be written as a stuma, the mem psucha has to be written as a psucha, and so therefore, how can we entertain the idea that you write Shem Mishimon and you're writing the mem as a open mem, And meanwhile, if you stop there, you're going to be chai for writing shame with a closed mem. If that were a Sefer Torah, that Sefer Torah would be pasul. And so therefore, how could you be liable for violating the melacha of kosev? So the Gemara says, Hudamar ki aitana. So the Gemara says, well, what it could very well be is that Rabbi Yehuda is following this Tana, meaning the Braisa that we just went through is incompatible with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to look together now at another Braisa, which is going to have compatibility. The Tanya will learn from the following Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Omer Nemra Bisheni, Viniskehem, Bishishi Unesecheha, Bishvihi Kemishpatam. So if you go through the Karbanos that are offered on Sukkos, and you watch carefully what happens as the Torah goes through the 7 days of Sukkos and the various Karbanos that are brought on the 7 days of Sukkos. So you will see over there a couple of discrepancies. On the second day, it says Niskehem with a Mem. On the sixth day, it says Unisacheha, and that's an extra Yud. And on the seventh day, Kemishpatam, that Mem over there is an anomaly. Meaning on all the other psukim, it does not say Kemishpatam, it says Kemishpat. And so we have over here the Torah basically encoding to us an extra mem, an extra yud, an extra mem. Hare mem yud mem, mayim. That spells the word mayim. Mikan remez la nisach hamayim in the Torah. This is a remez in the Torah for nisach hamayim. Meaning to say that nisach hamayim, which is one of the feature events on the Yontif of Sukkot, when there was the Beit HaMikdash, where water is poured onto the Mizbech, you go up to the top of the Mizbech, you make a left-hand turn. And in the southwest corner of the Mizbech, you had two holes. One was for the Yayin, and the other is for the Mayim. The Mayim that is poured on Sukkot. For all the days of Sukkot, water is poured over there, and that was part of the Simchas HaYontif. Where are you going to find this in the Torah? The answer is, you're not going to find it in the Torah. This is a mitzvah which is halach l'moshe m'sinai, but according to this braisa, it is actually encoded in the Torah. In the karbanos that are mentioned on Sukkot, you're going to find these additional letters, the mem yud mem, and that spells out the word mayim, and at least you see it encoded in the Torah. It rems l'nisach hamayim in the Torah. Now, over here, in terms of the encoding, let's take a look carefully at the letters that we extracted. We extracted a mem, yud mem. But what kind of mem was extracted? It was from the word uniskehem. That's a mem sophis. The yud, obviously, is just one standard yud. And what about the second mem? Kemishpatam. That's also a mem sophis. So what we've extracted in terms of creating the letter mayim is a mem sophis, a yud, and a mem sophis. And yet, that we use that to spell out the word mayim, and that shows us that a mem sophis could serve as an acceptable mem, even though it exists here in the beginning of the word. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is that the proof of the Gemara is super interesting because over here, we're not writing a Sefer Torah and we're not writing Tanakh. We're just simply extracting letters from the Torah in order to create a drasha. And so admittedly, the proof over here is seemingly a little bit difficult to understand because this is not a writing. This is just simply a decoding. It's a remez. But nevertheless, the Gemara feels that if there is an allowance to use these letters to create the word mayim, and we're using a mem sophis two times over, one for the beginning, one for the end, at least it shows us that a mem sophis could be written in the beginning of the word. And so now, let's make the argument. Umid de pasuach vasu sasum kasher, sasum nami, sasum v'asa pasuach kasher. So the Gemara says, well, look, if we just use a mem sophis as a substitute for a regular mem, for the mem psucha, so can't we go the other direction? Can't a mem psucha serve and work in a case where I need a mem sasum? So when I write the word shame and I write it with a mem pasuach, shouldn't that be acceptable? So the Gemara says, not necessarily midami. The Gemara says that these going in one direction, it may be acceptable. Going in the other direction is unacceptable. Why should that be? The Gemara continues. Pasuch vaso sasam ilui kam alele. So the Gemara says, because when you're going from a mem pasuach to a mem sasam, that is actually an upgrade. Now, without the Gemara finishing the sentence, it would be really difficult to imagine why that is an upgrade. But the Gemara at this point in time now is going to explain to us why it's an upgrade. Because we know that the luchos were carved. And we know that the mem and the samach in the luchos, b'neis hayu omdim. They were there, carved as a miracle. Now let's explain this a little bit better. The carving of the letters in the Luchos were not just simply a carving into the stone, but rather carving through the stone. The letters were carved all the way from one end to the other. So that means to say, and the Gemara is going to spell this out in just a moment, that you could see the letters on both sides. Now, of course, if you're looking one way, so the letters read. If you're looking on the other way, so obviously you're going to get the mirror image of those letters. But meanwhile, they're carved all the way through. Now, for the vast majority of the letters of the Aleph Beis, so you can imagine that they could be carved through. Obviously, it would take a lot of skill. The first luchos were carved out by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the second ones by Moshe Rabbeinu, but so we don't have to worry about the skill of the craftsman over here. But if they're carved all the way through, but every letter in the Aleph Beis, there is a way of carving it all the way through and the letter to be able to sustain in such a state, in such a situation. However, when it comes to the Samech, and we'll get to the Mem in just a moment, when it comes to the Samech is circular. So that means to say that in order to carve all the way through, so that means that you have now the middle of the letter, which is unsupported. It just stands there in the center. Now, under the natural law of physics and the world around us, so of course what's going to happen is it's going to drop. But beneath how you own them, that's exactly the point of the Gemara, that they were there miraculously, meaning that the center remained in the center via miracle. And the Gemara says that's not only true by the Samach, it's also true by the Mem as well. And so what we think right now, at this stage of the Gemara, we think that all the Mems that were in the Luchos, now in the Luchos, you can check it out, and I did yesterday, there are Mem Psucha and there's Mem Sophis in the Luchos. Mem occurs both in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the word in the Luchos. I'm not sure about the beginning. But anyway, but certainly in the middle and at the end. Anyway, with all that stated, so now the Gemara at this point is thinking that in the Luchos, all the Mems were written as a Mem Stuma. Why? Because we just learned together, according to this tradition given to us by Rav Chisda, that the Mem and the Samach in the Luchos were B'nei Sayu Omdim, meaning that they were all closed Mems, and they all stood there miraculously. Now, if we're right about this thought process, so that means to say that for the Luchos, which kind of Mem was utilized? The Mem Sophis, the closed Mem. And so that means to say that if I needed to write a Mem Psucha, and instead I wrote a Mem Sophis, that's an upgrade, because that's the kind of Mem that was used in the Luchos. But if you're going in the other direction, where you go from a Mem Sosum to a Mem Pasuach, now you're going from the kind of Mem that was used in the Luchos, and you're exchanging it for a Mem Pasuach, which was not used in the Luchos, so that's a downgrade. That is what the Gemara is thinking at this point in time. And now, the question that you're probably wondering, if in the Luchos you only had one version of the Mem, which is the Mem Sasum, so then when did the Mem Pasuach materialize? At what point in time were we introduced to the Mem Pasuach? So the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Chia Bar Abba, that the Mem, Nun, Ksari, Pei, and Chaf, and yes, by the way, the presentation of these letters are not faithful to the order of the Aleph Beis, and you could see, was it Rashi or Tosfos? It's Tosfos. At the end of the first Tosfos, he explains why it is that these letters are not presented in the order of the Aleph Beis. Anyway, Menatzvach, these letters, the fact that there are two versions of each of these letters, a Mem Pshuta and a Mem Stuma, and the same thing with a Nun, and a Tzadi, and a Pei, and a Chaf, so Sofim Amrum. So they were introduced to us by the Nevi'im, meaning that this was not part of the original Sefer Torah, and the original Masorah that was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were said later by Nevi'im. To which the Gemara is aghast at that suggestion. The Tisbra, the Gemara says, do you think for a moment that that's correct? So the Gemara says, cannot possibly be that at the time that the Torah was given, there was only one version of the Mem, and then later, historically, another version of the Mem was presented. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the Gemara says, the Gemara now is suggesting that at the time that the Torah was given, there were two versions of the Mem, as was the Nun and the Tzadi and the Pei and the Chaf. It just happens to be that we didn't know which one belonged in the middle of a word and which one belonged at the end of the word. So the Gemara says, and then the Nevi'im, the later Nevi'im came and they established. So the Gemara says, that also doesn't make sense. What do you mean? That's a chiddush. How could it possibly be that the Nevi'im are now going to establish which one goes in the beginning, which one goes at the end? So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be the following. It must be that when the Torah was given to us, there was a mem pshuta and there was a mem stuma. And the Gemara seems now at this point in time to go back on its original suggestion, which is that for the Luchos, it was only the mem stuma. The Gemara now is suggesting that's not true, that the mem stuma and the Luchos were when applicable, meaning when it was at the end of a word. And the mem pshuta was when it was in the middle of the word. And as far as what the Nevi'im did, meaning it's true that the Nevi'im set which one was in the middle and which one was at the end, but the only correction over here is that they didn't set it, meaning it was already established at the time of the Mesorah, at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. It just happens to be that there was a point in history, the Gemara does not identify when that was, but there was a point in history where the halacha became a little bit confused, and people were forgetting. And so what the Nevi'im did is they reinstituted it. That is, shachachum, they forgot, v'chazav v'yastum, and then they reestablished what goes in the middle and what goes at the end. Okay, now, admittedly, at this point in time, it is hard to understand how there could be a forgetting. Meaning, if there was a sefer Torah that were written, which obviously there were, passed down from generation to generation, which they were, so how could there be any kind of shechacha on something like this? It's difficult to understand, admittedly, but the Gemara says, but that's how you understand how the later Nevi'im go ahead and solidify which man belonged in the middle, which man belonged in the end. And therefore, based on all of the above, so we no longer really have such a great proof in terms of going only one directionally in the mem. We said that the mem going from a mem psucha to a mem stuma is acceptable because that is an upgrade, because we thought that the luchos were only written as a mem stuma. Now the Gemara corrects and the Gemara says that's not true. Even by the luchos, there were both the mem psucha and the mem stuma. Guf amar Rav Chista mem v'samach shebeluchos meneis hayom divam Rav Chista kasav shuksav shebeluchos nikra mimifnim v'nikra mimichutz. The Gemara now makes the point. I foreshadowed it earlier, but the Gemara here now makes the point, and that is that the carving of the letters in the Luchos went all the way through, so you can read it on both sides. Kegon nevuv buvan, saru varas. And the Gemara just simply gives examples of what it would look like from the other side. Meaning if on the front side it said the word nevuv, so then when you look behind, so obviously you're seeing it now reflected backwards, not reflected, but going backwards, and buvan, it would be not nun beis vav beis, but rather beis vav beis nun. And presumably also, if I'm picturing this well, also each of the letters would be backwards as well. But anyway, just the idea that it goes all the way through. And so the Gemara just gives two examples. Now these examples are highly unusual, and both Rashi and Tosfos make this point, second Tosfos on the Amud, in that these are examples of letters that are words that are actually not in the Luchos. So of all the examples to give in terms of what the luchos look like when you see it from one side versus when you see it on the other side, the two words that are given are words that are not in the luchos. It is highly unusual that the Gemara is doing that, but that's what the Gemara is doing, and reasons to be explained, just not by me. Amalei Rabban Rav Shua Ben Levi. And let me just give a quick introduction for the rest of our first Amud of today. Our first Amud of today, we're going to be decoding the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis has a tremendous amount of Kedusha. It is referred to as Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh, the Ramban explains that the Ramban, you can see the Ramban at the beginning of the Chumash, in his piece in the beginning of Bereishis, he writes that the Lashon HaKodesh, the letters of the Aleph Beis, were there, not only obviously to write the Sefer Torah, but they were basically the DNA. They were the building blocks of the entire world, of the entire universe. And so it is with this Aleph Beis that basically you can create, we know of course you create words with the Aleph Beis, but on top of that, there is a certain Kedusha and depth to the Aleph Beis, one which we can only, I'd say scratch the surface, not even scratch the surface. And what the Gemara is going to be doing over here is just giving examples of how to decode the Aleph Beis. And so Amalei Rabban Le Rishu Ben Levi Asu Darda Ke Ha'in Ala Be Midrasha Va'amri Mila Da'afilu Be Mei Yeshua Ben Nun Lo Itmar Kavasayu. Rabbi Shua Ben Levi says nowadays kids come to school, they go to the yeshivas, and they go to the Beis Medrash, and they hear things that were not heard at the time of Yeshua Ben Nun. And exactly what that means is hard for me to explain. Much of the upcoming Gemara, it's going to be hard for me. It'll be easy for me to present, and certainly just to read the Gemara and give simple pshat the Gemara, that'll be fine. But to go into the depth of the Gemara over here will be very difficult, in that I'm extraordinarily limited. And why are we referencing back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, specifically in terms of he didn't hear things like this? Anyway, but these ideas of decoding the Aleph Beis, and here we begin. And so the first round, we're going to do a number of rounds of this. In the first round, we're just simply going to go through the Aleph Beis itself. Aleph Beis, so now Aleph Bina. The word Aleph means to learn, and Beis is a contraction of the word Bina. So that means to say learn and understand. Gimel Dalis, Gimel Dalin. The Gimel is coming from the word Gemila, Gemilas Chasadim, and the Dalit from the word Dal, which means poor. And that means give to the poor. My time of Pshuta Kare de Gimel Agabi Dalis. And now that we understand that the Gimel Dalit is a construct of being good to other people and doing Chesed to other people, so take a look at the actual letters themselves. If you look carefully, the leg of the Gimel is basically headed in the direction of the Dal. Chekein Darcho Shel Gomel Chasadim LaRutz Achar Dalim. Because when you are a Gomel Chasadim, when you're giving to the poor, so what you're doing is you're running after the poor. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's more the opposite, where the poor are running after us. But over here, in terms of being a Gomel, in terms of giving to the poor, you should be running after the poor. That's why the leg of the Gimel is headed in the direction of the Dal. So the Gemara says, now if you look at the Dal is facing away from the Gimel, right? We're giving a visualization to each one of the letters. So the Dal's face, so to say, is turned away from the Gimel. It's facing left. But nevertheless, there is just an extension of the roof of the Dalid that is headed back in the direction of the Gimel. And the Gemara explains, Dilim Sele Nafshe. Because as much as the poor person is supposed to be running away, on the other hand, make himself somewhat available in order to receive the chesed. But meanwhile, the general face of the dalit is away from the gimel. The dalit represents the poor person. So that means to say that there should be discretion. And when you're giving to the poor person should not know who you are. Because once a poor person sees who's giving to him, so he's going to be embarrassed. In order to save embarrassment, literally in this case, save face, so the dalit is turned away from the gimel so that the dalit does not see who's giving to him. That is so far gimel dalit. Hey vav, zeh shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hand of vav together is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The zayin ches tes yud chaf lamed. We're now going to tackle the next six letters of the Aleph Beis. V'imata osek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we're going through the Zan Osach, that's the Zion, V'chein Osach, that's the Ches, U'metiv Lach, that's the Tes, and, I'm sorry, V'nosin Lach Yerusha, that's the Yud, V'koshla Keser La'olam Haba, a crown La'olam Haba, that's the Chaf and the Lamed. Mempsucha, Mempsuma, we're up to the next letter, which now, as we already established, comes in two forms, the open Mem, the closed Mem, Mamar Pesuch, Mamar Sasum. There are things that are open, and there are things that are closed. What does that mean? Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Yesh devarim shenasan rishos ledarshan. So there are things that we have permission to expound. V'yesha ata mitzuva lisosman. And there are things which you are not allowed to publicize. Could go Maisa Merkava. Like, for example, Maisa Merkava. Now, I bet you're wondering what Maisa Merkava is, and based on the Gemara right now, I can't tell you. But that's not the reason why I can't tell you. Obviously, I have no understanding of Maisa Merkava. The Gemara in Chagiga spends a lot of time going over how it is that one can educate others about Maisa Merkava. It has to be done in private sessions. The Gemara in Chagiga discusses it in more detail. Anyway, that's Maimer Pasuch, Maimer Sasum. We're up to the Nun. Nun Kfufa, Nun Pshuta. Ne'eman Kafuf, Ne'eman Pashut. Rashi explains over here, what does that mean? Adam Kasher Sarach Lios Kafuf, a person who is of a quality in nature. So he has to be bent over. Rashi explains, anav. He has to be humble. And eventually what's going to happen is that humility will lead him to Olam Haba, and Olam Haba, he'll be more erect. But in this world, we need to be kafuf, we need to be bent over, we need to be humble. Samach Ayin, next two letters of the Aleph base, Smoch Einayim. The Samach Ayin, Smoch Aniyim. Make sure to support the poor people. Another Samach Ayin reference is that make some sort of mnemonic in terms of helping you remember the Torah and have a kinyan haTorah. Pei kfufa, pei pshuta, we're up to the pei now. Pei comes in two forms, the kfufa, that's at the beginning or the middle of the word, and the pshuta, that's the pei sofis, which is just basically drops down. And what does that mean? Pei kfufa, pei pshuta, pei pesuch, pei sasum. Rashi explains over here that if there is an absence of teaching of Torah in your community, so that's pe pasuach, you should be opening your mouth and you should be teaching Torah. However, pesasum, so if there's already people giving shir and there's no need for you to give shir, so that's a great time not to give shir and to close your mouth and give respect for the other people who are giving shir in your community. Sadi kfufa v'sadi pshuta. The sadi also comes as bent sadi versus a pshuta, a straight sadi where the leg goes down, meaning that's the sadi sofis, sadi kafuf, sadi pashut. And over here, the Gemara gives a similar drasha to what we gave earlier. And that is that in this world, the sadi is going to be bent over. And in the next world, then he'll be pashut, then he'll be erect, and he'll enjoy the fruits of his labor. So the Gemara says, okay, but we went over that point already. Hainu neman, kafuf neman pashut. So we did that with the nuns, and now we're doing it again with the tzadi. So the Gemara says, yeah, exactly. Hosef l'cha akaso kfifa al kfifa so. Mikanshin es natora bimanud rosh. So the Gemara says, yeah, in terms of humility, so there is no such thing as being too humble. So the midah of anava is one where we're supposed to exaggerate anivus. And so the idea that we're bent over and it needs to be repeated again, and achinami, 100%. We need to be bent over and even more humble. Kuf, kadosh, resh, rasha. And we're up to, we're getting to the end of the Aleph Beis. We're up to the kuf and the resh. Kuf stands for kadosh, resh stands for rasha. My time, mahadar ape, de kuf, me resh. Now, again, looking carefully at the letters and the way that the letters present themselves, the kuf is facing away from the resh. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein yachol listakel b'rasha. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I can't look at the rasha. My time in Mahadre, tagid the kuf lagabe resh. Now, the tag of the kuf, meaning when you go to the roof of the letter kuf, and you will see a tag over there, the tag is found, that's the protrusion that goes up, right? Probably in English described as a crown. So it's all the way on the left-hand side, proximate to the resh. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu im chozer bar ani kosher lo keser kamosi. So basically, it is the kuf communicating to the resh and saying, look, if you do tshuva, so then I'm going to give you a crown just like mine. Umay tamei kari de kuf tluya. Now, you'll notice that the leg of the kuf is suspended, meaning the leg of the kuf does not actually hit the roof, but actually there is a little gap between the roof of the kuf and the leg going down. The hadar be la'ayo. Because... if the Russian wants to do tshuva, there is now going to be an opening right next to the resh, meaning in that small entrance where you can go in. So the Gemara says, v'leil ba'ach. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why not just simply give another opening in order for the Russian to go in? Mesayel resh lakish, dam resh lakish, may dechsiv im leitzim hu yalitz v'lanavim yiten chen. We go to the pasuk in Mishlei. Bali Tamei Paskin Lo. And here's how we understand the Pasuk in Mishlei. That if a person wants to become Tamei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an allowance. Bali Tar Misayin Oso. And if a person wants to become Tar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist him in becoming Tar. Now, this speaks to the general idea of Bechir Chavshis, that a person can choose whichever path he'd like to go down. But it also speaks to the idea, because if you read it carefully, it says for the person who wants to become Tamei, there is just simply allowance for him to do so. For the person who wants to become Tahor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to assist him in becoming Tahor, so the person will actually get supported in becoming Tahor. And that's why the small gap that exists on the side of the kuf, facing the resh, where basically it is a way of giving an entrance for the resh, an easy access point for the resh, where if he wants to do tshuva, he has a place to go in. Shin sheker tuft emes, and now the final two letters of the aleph base. Shin stands for sheker, that's falsehood. The emes is truth. So my time is sheker mekarvan mile emes mecharke mile. And the Gemara over here gives drushes. These drushes are popular, but it's found right here in the Gemara in Shabbos. The now when it comes to sheker, so the so we find that the letters that make up the word sheker are actually three successive letters of the aleph base. Meanwhile, emes, you can't get further away from one another. The aleph, the first letter. The mem, the middle letter. The tav, the last letter. Merach kamile. Shikra shchiach, kush lo shchiach. So the Gemara gives an unfortunate drasha, but very profound, and that is that when it comes to sheker, sheker you're going to see all the time. It's very prevalent. On the other hand, emes, you're not going to find that often. Also, you look at the letters of the word sheker. Each one of the letters of sheker has no base to it. The shin, the kuf, the resh. Now, the shin, the way it is blocked out in the here in the Gemara and in the regular block print, does not look like the way it looks in a Sefer Torah. So, open up a Sefer Torah to see it, the way the shin is supposed to be written. So the shin and the kuf and the resh are all standing on a point. And meanwhile, when it comes to emes, each one of them is each one of those letters has a base to them. The aleph has got two solid bases to it. The mem, a full line on the bottom. The tav, also two points to the bottom. So the Gemara says kush kai shikr lo kai. And the Gemara says that when it comes to emes, when it comes to truth, so it has a base, meaning it's truth, it's solid. It's correct, so therefore there is going to be a base to it. On the other hand, sheker, of course, is a lie, it's a falsehood, and it's just going to topple over. Okay, that was all round number one. We went through the aleph base letter by letter, and now we're going to do the same thing again. But now what we're going to do is that we're going to do other codes of the Torah. So now we're going to do a code called Atbash. Atbash is where we take the first letter, the last letter, the second letter, the second to last letter. And with that, we're going to do the same construct that we just did in terms of darshing the whole the aleph base. Atbash, now we're going to be doing the first, the aleph tuf. Osi ta'ev. Now this is in reference to a Rasha. So the Rasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I detest him. At avalo, should I have any desire for him? Rhetorical question. Meaning he's a Rasha. Beishin, bi lo cheshek shmi yachol alav. He doesn't want me, so should I put my name on him? Gimel Reish, Gufo Time Arachem Alav. He defiled his body, should I have Rachmanos on him? Dal Kuf Dal Sasina Al Karnav Lo Agadea. He closed my doors, and so therefore I shouldn't literally cut off his horns, meaning I shouldn't take away his honor and his splendor. Adkan Midas Rishayim Ava Midas Tzadikim. Now, we only went four letters in for the Rishayim. Now we're going to do the same thing. We're going to do it for the Tzadikim. We're going to start again at the beginning of the Atbash, and here now we're going to speak for the Tzadik. Atbash. Again, Im, we're going to start with the first round. We're actually going now four letters at a time. So Im Atabosh, if in fact you are humble, you're embarrassed. So you have Busha, Gimel Reish Dal Kuf. Im Ata Osekein Gur Bedok, you're going to have a place up in Shamayim. Hey Tzadi Vav Pei Chatzitza Have Bincha La'af. There will be a barrier between you and any of the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will be spared from all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath. Zayin Ayin Ches Samech Tes Nun. Now here we're doing three. We're doing three pairs. Ve'ein Atam Mizdazeh Min HaSatan. You have nothing to be concerned about when it comes from the Satan. Yud Mem Chaf Lamed. Amr Sar Shal Gehenem Ofnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Sha'olam. Liam Kol. So the Sar Shel Gehenim says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please send them all into the ocean. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and here now we're going to do another round. And in this round, what we're doing over here is that we're going to go in a different string, in a different code, where basically we're going to go first letter, and then we're going to skip seven letters, and we're going to go to the eighth letter. And we're going to follow in that pattern. We start with the Aleph, we do with the Beis, and we do with the Gimel, and we're going to go eight letters in. And that gets us to, these aren't words, it's just simply coding, achas bata gif, and the Gemara now goes and decodes. Ani chas aleim imnei shabato begif. I am going to have compassion on the Jewish people, on the tzaddikim, because they despise gif. Gif, Rashi explains over here, is a reference to adultery. Now, Dalid Chaf Sadi, we are continuing on this string of eight. Dakimhem, Kenimhem, Sadikimhem. They're pure, they are right, and they're Sadikim. Halak, this again, we're now up to the letter He, going in the string of eight. Ein lecha chelek bahem. You, now this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to the Satan, you have no portion in them. Umirazan Shes, now we're finishing up over here, in the string of eight. So Amar Genem lefnei Rebbeinu Sha'olam, Marei Zenini Mizar Shal Shes. So he says, I'm malnutritioned, and what I'd like is Zar Shal Shes, I would like the descendants of Shes. So Amar Le, Kadosh Baruch Hu says back to him, and now we're going to be following another pattern of the Aleph Beis. Here we're going from Aleph all the way to Lamed, Beis to Mem. And here we're doing first a succession of four of these pairs. Aleph, Lamed, Beis, Mem, Gimel, Nun, Dalet, Samech, Lehechan, Olechan, Legan, Hadas. I'm going to be taking them, meaning to the Jewish people, the Tzadikim, I'm taking them to Gan Eden. Hey, Ein, Vapei, two more pairs of this kind of format. He says, I'm really tired. Zayin Sadi Chav Kuf. Sorry. Ches Kuf. We are going to go two more pairs in. Halal Zor Shal Yitzchak. These are the descendants of Yitzchak. And finally, Tes Resh Yud Shin Chav Tes. Chav Tav. Tar Yeshli Kisos Kisos Shal Ovdi Kochavim. Shani Nosin Lach. Wait. Tar Rash explains over here means to wait. Because what I have over here is other people of Ovdei Kochavim, idolaters, and that's what I'm going to give to you. So, I'm going to pause to breathe for just a moment. We have Gan and Darshan the Aleph Beis in a total of four rounds in the standard presentation of Aleph Beis. Then we went Atbash. Actually, we went over Atbash two times over. Then we went through the series of Achas Bata, which is skipping eight letters. And then we went through a series of Aleph Lamed. And in doing so, the Gemara gave us examples of how the Aleph Beis can be decoded. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Amud Aleph of today's Daf. We move on to the Amud Beis. And we are finishing up the 12th Perek, Mir Tzashem, tomorrow. We finish the 12th Perek of the Masechta, and we begin the 13th Perek. Here, the Mishnah on the top of Yud Beis. I'm sorry. The top of Kuvdal Amud Beis. The Mishnah begins, HaKosef Shtei Osios B'Alam Echad. If you write two letters and you do so in one state of unawareness, Chayav, that is the Malacha of Kosev. Kosev B'Dio B'Sam B'Sikra B'Kumus B'Kan Kantum V'Chol Davashu Roshim. If you're writing with an ink, now there are three different types of inks that are described over here. The Gemara is going to interpret each one of them. But basically, they're all permanent markings. Anything which creates a reshima, anything which makes a permanent mark, one is going to be chayv. Al shnei kosli zavios, ve al shnei luche pinkas vehin negin ze im ze chayv. Now, if I'm writing two letters, then let's start off with the kosli zavios. I go to the corners of the house. So, in other words, I go to the corner of the house where the house, the two perpendicular walls are meeting at the corner, and I write two letters where they can be read one next to the other. So, you're going to be chayv. And the same thing regarding a ledger. If I'm writing on a ledger, and I'm writing on two parts of the ledger, but they are right next to one another, so then one is going to be chayiv. HaKosev HaBasaro chayiv. If one writes on his own skin, you're going to be chayiv. HaMasarad HaBasaro. Now what if you scratch onto your skin? Rabbi Eliezer Mechayiv Chatos V'Chacham and Pochim. HaMachlokes HaTanayim, whether or not that results in a chiyuv of a carbon. Whether or not that is a malacha of kosev. Kosev V'Mashkim V'Meperos B'Avak Durachim B'Avak HaSofrim. Now, if I'm writing with a type of ink that does not last, for example, meperos, fruit juice, avak derachim, that is dirt, avak hasofrim, dust that comes off of a sefer, uvechol davar sheinu miskayim, and anything that doesn't last, one would be potter. La'acher yado b'raglo b'pivo v'mar peko. If one were to write using the back of your hand, or using a foot, or using your mouth, or using the inside of your elbow, so kasav osacha samach l'ksav, or if you were to write one letter next to other letters, the kasav agabik sav, or let's say you just basically write over a letter, Niskaven lichtav ches because of bei zayanim. And let's say your intention was to write the letter ches, and instead you wrote two zayans, achas baretz v'achas bekara, or you write one letter on the ground and one letter up on the ceiling, because of abeis kos le'abayis. Or let's say you're writing on two walls of the house that are not touching one another, and al shnei dapei pinkas ve'ein negin zein zeh. Or let's say you're writing on a scroll, but you're writing one letter on one part of the scroll and another letter on another part of the scroll, and they're not proximate one to another. In all of the above cases, you're going to be pater. You are not violating Shabbos in any of the above. And just quickly to review, why not? So in terms of writing with the back of your hand, so obviously that is literally kala achayat. That's doing something in an unusual fashion. We've already established back in the 10th parak that doing something in an unusual fashion does not have with it the definition of a malacha, so too over here. And in terms of writing one letter, even though it's next to other letters, so nevertheless, but you only wrote one letter, so that also is going to create a patur. If you're writing on top of a letter, so all you're doing is just basically writing on something that already exists that's not considered ksiva, and that also creates a patur. If your intention was to write the letter Ches and you wrote the letter Zion, that since it wasn't your original intention, you're also going to be Pater. And writing on the two walls of your house, when they're not proximate to one another, the Gemara is going to make this point clearly, but I'll say it right now. The reason why you're not violating the Malach of Kosev is because it has to be two letters that are proximate to one another. And if these letters are only going to be proximate if I have to take down a wall, that's not considered Ksiva. And the same thing with a ledger. If I'm writing on the ledger, but I'm writing on two different parts of the ledger, and the only way to get these letters one to another is to cut out from one place and put it next to the other, that also is not going to be a violation of Ksiva. Okay, and finally, the Mishnah over here, one more halach in the Mishnah. Kasav os achas no trikon. Let's say you write one letter, but the one letter over here is clearly a contraction of a larger word. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beser Mechai v'chacham in Pochim. So a machlokes atanayim whether or not when one letter represents a word, is that going to be the malacha of Kosev? A machlokes atanayim. Let's go through the first parts of the Gemara this morning. Deyo deyusa, sam sama, sikra. The Gemara is giving Aramaic definitions of the various inks that are used in the Mishnah. As usual, that's good for those fluent in Aramaic. For you and I, they're just Aramaic translations. Sikra. Now, what is Sikra? Amar Rava Bar Bachana Sikrasa Shema. It is referred to as Sikrasa. Okay. Komas Kuma. Kankantum. Komas in Aramaic comes after the word Kuma. And Kankantum. Amar Rava Bar Bachana. Amar Shmuel. Charta dushpache, some sort of paste that was used in order to polish one's shoe. Anyway, these are all different various forms of inks. The point is that all these inks have lasting effects. If one were to write using this kind of ink, so that would in fact be kasher. This is ink that lasts, and I think gallnut is how they translate it in English. Anyway, that's what Rashi over here says, galls. So gallnut, so ve'afasa kasher. Tani Rabbi Chiya kasher ba'avak b'shachor v'shichor kasher. Rabbi Chiya says that if you use an avak b'shachor u'v'shichor kasher, some sort of a black paste. So, various types of inks that will be permanent, and therefore would in fact qualify as iksiva. Hamisareid al basaro, somebody who scratches on their skins. The Mishnah taught us that writing on your skin is going to be a chiyuv of ksiva, but scratching your skin is not. Tanya amalem Rabbi Eliezer lechachamim v'alo ben sadata hotzik shafim in Mitzrayim b'srita shal basaro. So we have this individual as ben sadata. Now in terms of the identity of this individual, so actually the Rishonim already tried to identify at least when he lived, in terms of who he was, so a bit of a mystery. But Rabbeinu Tam, in Tosfos over here, puts him at the time of Pappas ben Yehuda, which was during the time of Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, what he did is when he came out of Egypt, and he wanted some of the sorcery in Egypt, and the Egyptians did not allow for exportation of their sorcery. None of their potions and none of their spells were allowed out. So what this Ben Sidda did is that he scratched it into his skin, the various incantations that he learned in Egypt. And Amrullah, so the Gemara is trying to prove from there that you see it is Ksiva. Now Amrullah, they say to Rabbi Eliezer Shotaya, this Ben Sinita was a fool, and he does not display what is normal behavior. And so therefore he's not going to establish a definition of Ksiva just because you have one person who behaves in this manner. This idea that I write one letter up against already written letters or a word, so and our Mishnah says that you didn't write two letters, therefore you're not Chayav. So the Gemara says this is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. This is coming up in tomorrow's daf. When we open up the 13th paragraph, we're going to see the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you are weaving and you already have a woven fabric and you add one more line of weave, so Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayiv. Now, one line in of itself is not significant, but if you're adding it already to an existing weave, so Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayiv. The Gemara says the same thing would be true over here. If you already have a word and all you're doing is adding one letter, you should be chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer Hamar Achas Al Arik Chayev, and the Gemara says exactly that point. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, just like one line to the weave would be Chayev, so too one letter to already written letters, you're going to be Chayev as well. Ksav Agabi Ksav, Mantana Amar Chisad Deloka Rabbi Yehuda. Now writing on top of letters, so the Gemara says that is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah says you're Potter. The Gemara now notes, Ditanya. Hare Shahai Yitzarach Lichsov is a shame. The Brice over here, which we see numerous times throughout Shas. In Gittin, this comes up a couple of times. You are writing a Sefer Torah. You're up to Shem Hashem, so you should be writing the letters Yud, Hey, and then Vav Hey. And what happens is that your mind just totally freezes. And you now are planning on writing the word Yehuda. Okay? What exactly happened to your mind at that point in time? Anyway. And it's taught in the Skam Lechtov Yehuda. So you wanted to write the word Yehuda. V'tav v'lo hitov o'dalas. And then as you're writing the letter Yehuda, you forgot to write the letter Dalas. So, in the end, you wrote Shem Hashem. But your intention was not Shem Hashem at all. In fact, your intention was to write the word Yehuda. Now, the case is bizarre. It just gets us to now a place in Halacha where we're able to analyze a scenario where you wrote Shem Hashem but without the Kavanah. So what do you do under those circumstances? Ma'avir la komas umikacho div Rav Yehuda. According to Shita Rav Yehuda, you can go over it again with a komas, and you're writing on top of it with the kavana of writing Shem Hashem, and that would work. And v'chachamim or me'min Hashem ein Hashem min amuvchar. And the chachamim say no, that's not good. Now the Gemara over here does not elaborate on the sheet of the chachamim. Why is that not good? The Gemara in Gittin, if my memory is good, says that what's going to end up happening is that if you do this, it's going to look different than the rest of the Sefer Torah, and therefore it is a lack of Zekeh Livan Veil. So, but anyway, but the Shita Rav Yehuda is that writing on top of a letter does qualify as Ksiva, so our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda. Tana Kasav Osachas Vishlomo Sefer Arag Chod Echa Vishlomo Lebegin Chayev. So we have a Brisa. The Brisa says that if I write one letter and it completes the Sefer, if I write one, if I weave one line and it completes the beged, you're going to be chayiv. Mantana, Amarava Baravuna, Rabbi Eliezer he. The authorship of that brisa, so we could say it's like Rabbi Eliezer. We just were introduced to Rabbi Eliezer moments earlier, so this brisa could be Rabbi Eliezer. Damar Achas Al Arik Chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer says that if I have a woven garment and I add just one line, you're going to be chayiv. Rav Ashi Amar Filu Tim Rabbanan. Now, and Rav Ashi says you don't have to say that. That anonymous brisa doesn't have to be going like Rabbi Eliezer, it could be going like the Chachamim. And the idea could actually be very simple. And that is that you are completing the Sefer. You're completing the Beged. And for the completion of the Sefer, for completion of the Beged, so one would be Chayev, not for writing the letter, but for the act of completion. Now, it could very well be that the Gemara over here is making reference to Makeh B'Patish. The Gemara does not make that point clear. It could very well be that this is Ksiva, just simply because you concluded, but perhaps the easier way to say it is that this is a form of Makeh B'Patish. Amar Rabbi Amik Sav Os Achas B'Tver V'Achas B'Tzipar Rechayev. Ksiva Hi Ela Shemuchuzer Kreva. Let's say I wrote a letter in Tveria, and then I wrote another letter in the town of Tzipori. These two towns are near one another, but no way are they next to one another. right? It takes a little bit of time to walk from one to the other. I forgot the exact time, the exact amount. Tveria, everyone's familiar with Sipari, modern day. You'll still find Sipari in Eretz Yisrael. It's modern day Hoshaya. It's just a little bit west of Tveria by car, a couple of minutes. Anyway, the point is that writing a letter in one town, writing a letter in the other town, you're going to be chayv sivahi. Elisha mechusa kreva. The only thing you have to do is just simply take the two letters and move them one right next to another. The Gemara says, wait 1 second, v'hatanan, how could that possibly be? Let's go back over our Mishnah. Ksav al shnei kosle abayis v'al shnei dabe pinkas v'ein negin zeim ze potter. The Mishnah says that if I write letters and they're not proximate to one another, so then you're going to be exempt. How can you learn the Mishnah and then conclude that writing a letter in Tzipori and writing a letter in Tveria you're going to be chayv? That's very difficult to understand. The Gemara says it's not so difficult to understand. Hasa mechusa maisa dekreva, hachala mechusa maisa dekreva. So the Gemara says the difference is as follows. That in the case where I'm writing a letter in Tzipori and writing a letter in Tveria, I say a letter, by the way, I mean a character. Writing a letter in each of them. So all I need to do is just simply move the letters proximate to one another. But that's all that's missing. It's just kreva ba'ama. It's just moving them closer together. If I write a letter on one wall and write a letter on another wall, in order to move them together, I'm going to have to deconstruct the walls in order to move them together. That is mechusar maisa. That is, you need to go through a lot in order to get these letters together. And that serves as a difference between our Mishnah and the case over here described. And the same thing is true, by the way, the Gemara doesn't make this point, but the same thing is true regarding the Pinkas. Regarding the ledger, if I'm writing it on a ledger, on two different parts of the ledger, where I'm going to have to cut out from one part of the ledger in order to put it next to the other, that also is mechusar maisa. That's also deficient in a lot of action, and that's why in that case you'd be putter. But if all you did was just write a letter in Tveri and write a letter in Tzipori, and all you have to do now is just move them together, so that is not considered enough of an action so that you are going to be chayav in the malacha of kosev. Now, just in terms of interesting halacha lamaisa, now this is, I'm just simply discussing, not concluding. Playing a game in which you are moving the letters one to another, right? The popular game of bananagrams, where there the letters are already written, all you're doing is moving them together, presumably that would be perfectly fine. Because the letters are already written, all you're doing is just moving them together. The Gemara just concluded, moving them together doesn't serve as an action. In other words, that's why if I write one letter in Tzipori and one letter in Tveri, you're going to be chayav, because all you need to do is move them together, meaning that's not enough of an action that is going to spare you from the chiyuv, which means that once the letters are written already, moving them together is going to be not significant in the malacha of kosev. That seemingly is the conclusion of the Gemara over here, but again, that's just a discussion, that is not a conclusion. Anyway, let's recap, let's review our daf today. We started off this morning asking the question, if I'm writing Shem Shimon, and I stop after the letter Mem, and that Mem was a Mem Psucha, and the Mishnah says, according to Rav Yehuda, you're going to be Chayiv, and the Brisa said it as well, according to Rav Yehuda, you're going to be Chayiv. How could you be Chayiv if all you wrote was a Mem Psucha and not a Mem Stuma? That was the Gemara's question, and Rav Chista attempts to answer, well, it must be that b'di'evid, if I exchange a mem psucha with a mem stuma, or conversely, that would be okay. And the Gemara went into a lot of detail saying it's not okay. The mitzvah of uchsavtam means that when you're writing Sefer Torah, it has to be ksivatama. The writing has to be as perfect as possible. And so therefore, you're not allowed to confuse the various letters that can be confused. And so you're not allowed to exchange a mem sofis with a mem psucha, so says the Braisa. The Gemara tries to suggest that maybe Rav Yehuda subscribes to a different Braisa, right? The Nusach HaMayim comes from the Mem Yud Mem. And so there is at least a way to defend the position of Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara then went on the top of Kuf Dalet through an interesting discussion of the Mems of the Luchos. They were B'nais HaYu'omdim. At a certain point in the Gemara thought that the only Mem that was written in the Luchos was only the Mem Stuma. Not the Mem Psucha, but the Gemara redacted that position. Continuing on Kuf Dalet in terms of a review, the majority of Kuf Dalet dedicates itself to the decoding of the olive base, seeing various messages that are encoded within the olive base, and the Gemara teased out various messages that we could take away from in terms of the Aleph Beis. And so is the end of Kuf Dalam and Aleph. Kuf Dalam and Beis, back to the Malacha of Ksiva. The Mishnah fired at us multiple points regarding what is going to be a violation of the Malacha of Ksiva. The writing has to be permanent. The writing has to be done in a normal fashion. You have to be writing, you have to be intended on writing of two letters, and the letters that you're writing have to be proximate to one another. That is all the points of the Mishnah, succinctly put. And then the Gemara went on first to define for us what are the various inks that are described in the Mishnah. Writing on your skin is a violation, but scratching something into your skin is not a violation, despite the fact that there was some lunatic who went to Egypt and he scratched some of the incantations on his skin, but the Gemara says, good, he's a lunatic. The Gemara says, writing one letter on top of already written letters, Rabbi Eliezer, like in the beginning of the 13th parak, which we're going to see tomorrow, says you're chayiv, so too over here, Rabbi Eliezer would be mechayiv you for writing one letter. If, however, you're writing a letter as the completion of the sefer, or if you're putting one extra weave as the completion of the beged, so according to Rav Ashi, everyone would say that you're chayiv because that is you are being mashlim, because you are concluding. And finally, the last thing that we cover today is writing a letter in Tveri and writing a letter in Sipori. You're going to be chayiv for writing two letters, either not proximate to one another. That's not a big deal because all they need to do is just be shuttled one next to the other, and you're going to be chayiv. And that's different than our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, in order to put the two letters together, you're actually going to have to deconstruct the walls, or you're going to have to cut out the pinkas. And that's the difference between the halacha as presented by Rav Ami versus our Mishnah.